You know, I'm glad you can worship God anywhere. You know, there's all these people out there that say you can worship God in your basement, and you know, you can worship God anywhere, but it's nice to be at church, amen? Amen. There's all these people that say, you know, we got a house church. I meet so many people that have house churches, and man, oh man, if there's, I'm not against them, man. We're probably going to start something over in Europe in a house, but anyways, I'm glad that I get to sit under some good preaching on the road, and sorry about this morning, you didn't get much preaching. Just I'm glad to be here, and hopefully this projector works. Thank you for everyone that's given us a little cookie, or someone gave us meat. Who was that? Bro, you said someone raises beef? Who was that?
Everyone.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was the coffee you really liked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember. So you got to eat organic and drink coffee to be a member of this church. Okay. Oh, okay, yeah. And the gluten-free is are the deacons. So they're, you know, you got to work your way up. How much are you, you know, diligent? Anyways, I got a little slideshow here, and I'm going to set up as I'm setting up just a little testimony. If you weren't here a couple years ago, or, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I got saved at 6 years old. That's when I asked the Lord to save my soul from hell, and I didn't understand everything, but I knew I needed a Savior. And I grew up in the Lutheran church, so you can't imagine hearing about being born again too much. But my mom and dad were saved. My mom was saved in some kind of Church of Alliance type deal down in Iowa. And then my dad was saved in one of those little, I don't know what you would call them, I guess tent meetings. They used to have circuit rider type things up in Wisconsin. They don't have any of that anymore much. Anyway, so they were saved, and I got devotions as a child and got saved. But like I said, see if I can get this to work here. Yeah, we'll see. I have to open this and see what happens. But anyways, grew up in the Lutheran church. Not much preaching, if any. I think we had like five or six pastors, different ones come through. Just that's the way it works over in that church. It's a career thing. And anyways, how I ended up being called to be a missionary is just God's grace all the way. Let's just see what this thing does. Really tilted. We're gonna try this. Oh man, I had it set up before. Someone come up here. What's going on? All right, here, hold on. We'll get it. What happened? If it's crooked, it's all right. These churches, someone get out there and level the church. Did you guys use a cornerstone when you built this thing? Or? All right, that was decent. Okay. Anyways, it'll be short tonight, just a little slideshow, take some questions. You guys will be on your way. We're going to head over to the other Cast Sister Church, Rensselaer. So we're not going to be long tonight, but just to start out, like I said, grew up in the Lutheran church, different Bible versions, different preachers. One of those churches where it's just don't make a big scene, don't rock the boat. Just everyone kind of stayed. It was just the little kingdom, you know. Nothing. We built the church. No one really talked about soul winning, doctrine. Didn't know what Luther did. My best friend was a Catholic. Had made one missionary come through my whole years. So anyways, growing up in that, I was going to be a dairy farmer. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I thought, you know, drinking milk out of the tank, like you guys probably do, and what else? Having about 30 stray cats, and a dog every year, we'd get run over, and we'd have a new dog every year, four of them. We had about every breed, and anyways, I thought that's what I was going to be doing, you know? I thought I was going to be farming, and my dad and my mom didn't finish high school. I thought I was going to finish high school and farm. Well, my dad in high school sold the farm. And I knew the Lord wanted me to go to Bible school, but I didn't want to go to Lutheran seminary. So I was in high school, my dad sold the farm, and the Lord was steering me towards Bible school. But I decided to go off to college to get a degree and try to be a light in college. You know, that's the excuse I had. And it only took me 4 months of college to realize there are people that hate Jesus Christ. Evolution philosophy is big in college. That's what I got swamped with. My grades were going down, my interest, and I just felt like there was evil everywhere around me. The events at the college, I mean, I was getting degraded. And anyway, so I said, I'm packing my bags, I'm going to go back home and find a Bible school. So I did that, wrote Bible verses on my final test, you know, John 3:16 on my stat test. I walked out of there, got out of college, and was praying about a Bible school. And anyways, long story short, ended up at Pensacola Bible Institute. I met a Bible believer up there in Wisconsin who spent some time with in a Bible-believing church out west. And he gave me some stuff from down there, and I ate it up, and some Schofield stuff, real simple stuff. And I ended up going down there, checking it out. Spent 3 years down there, finished in 2012 at PBI. That's where I met my wife. Her dad's a missionary to Sicily, like I said. Bible-believing man. Anyways, we'll hopefully be ending the deputation in November. So it's been or September, we'll be flying over November. So that's just a little bit. Does anyone here speak German? Everyone knows a little bit, right? Just like I know Hablo poquito español. I know burrito, I know just a little bit of soup. All right, I think the lights could be, I don't know where this picture is here. Hey, thank you. Everyone see that right? Is it pretty clear, I guess? The end of this verse, Ephesians 3:8, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, Germany is not a poor country. As all of you already know, you've heard about it, you've seen it, you've been there. It's not really a poverty-stricken place, very wealthy. And a lot of people have everything that you could dream of, but they don't have the unsearchable riches of Christ. They don't have the eternal, unsearchable things of God, because they don't have Jesus Christ. That's why we're going over to preach. Like I said, got married to an Italian. All I can say is, when I got married to an Italian, I learned a lot about pasta. And I thought I knew spaghetti and pizza and spaghetti and lasagna. But now I know all the noodles, rigatoni, penne, farfalle, manicotti. I know a lot of noodles, and then I asked my wife, why do the noodles have grooves in them? You know, like a penne. She said, it holds the sauce. That's it. So when you get married into the town, you learn about mafia, food, a little bit of everything. The mafia's still there. Little baby Tirza is 16 months old. She's a blessing as a German Bible here. She always is pretty happy, and she's a real blessing. We got married just over 2 years ago and had her. And anyways, just repeat myself, grew up on a farm, never thought I'd be a missionary. Half of my family came from East Germany as farmers. The other half came from Luxembourg, right below Belgium, Germanic country there. And recently, the Lord blessed where we got to go overseas to Europe for 3 months. I took some German courses, I went to a German Bible conference, the whole family went, and then got my citizenship with Luxembourg. So now I'm a dual citizen of Europe, and my wife's already a dual citizen of Italy, and we don't have any paperwork, no more visas. So praise the Lord, I can go to Austria or Germany or anywhere, and I don't have to worry about any paperwork. So praise the Lord. Like I said, Holstein cattle, the whole thing, and that's what I thought my end was. But the Bible has a way of steering you. The Bible says here, thou art worthy, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for that pleasure they are and were created. And it pleased God to call me over to Germany, a country of 83 million souls, about the same size as Montana. And Germany is not a big place, only one U.S. state big, but 83 million souls. Here are some major cities over there. Erfurt is where Luther went to university. All this is previously little Lutherville. Luther did his work. This is all previous East Germany. We spent some time in here. Quite a few times over here in Halle or Saale. That's where the Moravians started. You ever heard of the Moravians? is where the Bible conference was this last summer. If anybody new is there, this is Luxembourg. And I just really have a heart for Northern Germany. Don't have any more particular the Lord's calling us to. But initially, we'll be starting out right here. In this little area, Switzerland, Austria, Germany. And they all speak High German, a little bit of dialect. And this is the area we'll be starting out in, helping a man named Nico Bierhoff, or it's a Dutchman. I know your pastor's probably mentioned him over there. He's in Switzerland. He grew up in the Netherlands, went to Pentecostal Bible Institute, and started a good work right here in East Switzerland. And I'll be preaching to the youth there, about 15 youth, to start out being kind of a youth pastor, and learning the German language better, and just being a member of his church, doing as much as I can to help him. And then the Lord, we'll see where the Lord leads us for up in Germany. So that's where we'll be. Here in this area, this is where Zwingli grew, or was where Zwingli was. This is where John Huss was burned at the stake. You heard of John Huss? You know, Hitler's only a 4 mile drive this way. And Zurich is where a lot of Jews are, still heavily caught in the Jewish area. Orange roof, typical German house, southwest Germany here. A lot of farmland. East Switzerland is a little bit rockier, a lot of mountains. And this is a nice little view from the top of a little mountain here. Neuschwanstein Castle, this is in southern in Bavaria, and you may know it better as the Disney Castle. This is where Disney got his little castle, Neuschwanstein. And Volkswagen, that comes out of Germany. You got a lot of German things, but still the best thing besides the German Bible is the bratwurst, amen? Now, I don't know if you guys eat that around here or what. You guys eat that around here? You know, they have some good food over there, they got some good sites, but we're not going over there for the food or the sites. We're going over there to preach the gospel. If I was going to be after the food and the sites, I'd stay right here in America and just be content. The whole thing is, the Lord doesn't need tourists over there. There's so many, 83 million people, there's always someone touring around. They need someone to be a light with the gospel and with the word of God. That's just real plain and simple. And there's a real need over there. One third of them are Catholic. One third of them are Protestant. That does not mean they're saved. That means they go to church, but it's not Catholic. And then one third of them are atheist, agnostic. They would have nothing to do with God. So there's a lot of people that are on their way to hell. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You can't gain the whole world and lose your soul. You say, how? Because salvation is not of this world. Salvation is in a man, and he was from above. And that's what they need to be preached to. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The devil hinders a lot of Germans using the Catholic Church. One third of them are Catholic, very devout, praying to Mary, lighting candles. You name it, a lot of darkness there. Still some indulgence boxes in the back of some churches. They're real strong, real powerful over there. A lot of the old churches in the market squares are Catholic or Lutheran. That's the two-state church system. This is in Dresden, in East Germany. This is in southern Germany, in Ulm. It's the Münster Church. This is the tallest church in the world. And they're very old churches, and there's a lot of money in them because, like I said, they get the taxes from all over Germany. State tax, church tax, they call it. And they make some good money on these churches. People visit them. Now, this happens to be the doorway where Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses. And above it, you see the Lord on the cross. And at the front of the church, you'll see the Lord on the cross. And even on the side of the church, you'll see the same thing. And there's nothing wrong. In fact, you're supposed to remember the Lord's death, amen? But what about what the Lord, or the angel said at the Lord's tomb? He is not here, he is risen. Amen? The Lord is not on the cross anymore. He's going to be on the throne. And resurrection, or preaching about Jesus Christ rising from the dead, is part of the gospel. And listen, he's not an image. He's a person. Well, they like to keep him dead over there. Nietzsche said God is dead. This was a famous philosopher, Hitler's favorite. Hitler loved Nietzsche. And that's what, you know what a philosopher is? It's the world's preachers. you're going to end up with death. There's a way we're seeing right to, man, but then there are ways of death. This is Buchenwald, a concentration camp up in Weimar, Germany, Central Germany. Still have the ovens there. A lot of things that you see once that you never forget. And higher critics are also very dangerous. Anyone around here that would correct the word of God, they are very dangerous. Very dangerous people. Westcott and Horst, Englishmen, you know that corrected the Bible, and millions still do. Now, Martin Luther, I'm going to mention him. Great German man, lived back in the 1500s. You may know something about him. He translated the German Bible that we use over there. It's a good Bible. What else can I say about him? He did great work. I know there's a lot of people that find fault with Luther, and there's a lot of good things he did, and a lot of things that we don't know about Luther. A lot of things that we know about him were from his middle to early life when he was getting out of the Catholic Church, and he said some pretty bold statements for the end of his life that don't make it over here. No one knows about what he really believed. He was a pretty good man at the end of his life. Here in Divatsburg Castle is where he translated the New Testament in 11 weeks. 11 weeks he did the New Testament. And pretty neat little place here to see where he did the work. He actually, his life was at stake when he was in this castle. And that's when he did the translation of the New Testament. And Martin Luther was a man of the open Bible. And that's something to notice is Martin Luther didn't just leave his Bible shut. He was a firm believer in opening his Bible. And that's what they need over in Germany. Need for preaching and opening the Bible with people. That's three young teenagers here at Hamburg, and they never seen an open Bible, they never read the gospel. So there's a real need over there. Here's some people I got street preach a little bit too, and there's a lot of opportunity to do that. A lot of cafes, market squares. You have liberty to do what you're doing. After I preach here, a policeman said I have liberty to do that, to preach. So I've been planning on doing quite a bit of it. Like I said, there's a lot of cafes. Grab a coffee. You can meet people daily that are there for work or business, train stops, a lot of public transportation. You can work on a lot of people daily and build a relationship and see what the Lord will do. And pull up banners, pass out tracts, Bibles. They're hard-headed people. They're not real thin-skinned about it all. As long as you cooperate with what's going on, they don't have a problem with it. The kids are in bad shape over there. Just like the kids here in America, the school systems, public over there are very corrupt. And a lot of filth and a lot of lies in their heads. And that's what I plan on trying to work with when I get over there is the kids and the youth and try to get some youth following the Lord. And there's a great need for that over there. This is the church we'll be helping. They're singing the old-time hymns in German. And there's a need for teaching the Bible. And, to preach is not enough to get them grounded in the word truth so that they can bring forth fruit. That's what we're looking at. And he has an institute over there. It's exactly PPI, only in German, 5 years. And he has almost all the material translated to German that you need. And so there's a great door to preach the word over there. This is him right here, Brother Bierhoof or Bierhoff. Comes into the door, said, I have the one mission, is he only. And this man led an Arabian mission. I'm almost done here, but this man, back in the 1700s, Germany was sent out missionaries. And it's sad today to know that Germany needs missionaries. Well, they're the ones that were sending out in the 1700s. And this man had a mission of Jesus Christ and him only. I'm going to end with this verse. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The night is far spent, and I'm a firm believer in that. Paul wrote this almost 2,000 years ago. So we're at the end here. We're at the end of it all. And you have enough strength to get rid of the sin, the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Fight. There's a fight. There's a fight right now. We need some armor. And there's a lot to do. We all know that. Pray that we can get over there, reach the soul to Germany. We've had some people take us on and did different things. And in God's time, we hope to buy a ticket to you in the next 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe a month. Next month, I hopefully buy tickets for November. and fly over and see what we can do. So, thank you. All right. Questions? Anyone have anything they're curious about, or there's no bad